Rolling. Testing, testing. 1, 2. All right, perfect. We're not clipping. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Lyrics Unwrapped, the podcast which analytically breaks down the best rap lyrics of all time, explaining the hidden meaning and genius of each bar. I'm your host, Chandler So, and today I have a very special episode for you guys. This is the third episode, and I could tell we're really gaining traction. So what did I do? I quit my job, and with $50 in my checking account, $126 in my savings account, I took out a $500 loan in order to hire a guest host for this episode. Welcoming my guest host, Michael. Hey, Michael, how are you doing?
Hi, I didn't know I was getting $500 for this.
Congratulations. That's why
I'm a big fan.
I went into debt to bring you on. And Michael, we're in a very special place. So let me first break it down for you. This is a podcast about fire bars, fire rap music. And in order to talk about the hottest bars in hip hop, all right, I moved to California a month ago. This is where the action is. It's very hot in Southern California. But guess what? After my first episode, I was not satisfied. I needed it hotter. On the second episode, I filmed it in my kitchen, eating hot wings while wearing a parka. And guess what? Still not fucking hot enough, dude. I need the hottest place for the hottest bars. So Michael, where are we in episode three?
Somehow you've been able to drag me into a sauna and you're torturing me during this episode, but it's all for the hot bars, all right?
Yes. We are inside of a sauna here in Beverly Hills, California. It is 90 degrees outside, and how hot is it in this fucking room?
Too hot.
Way too fucking hot.
But goddamn, it doesn't smell good.
Old people sweat, nothing beats the smell of old people sweat in Cedarwood. All right, everyone. So to start off this episode, I have a sponsor. He hasn't paid me anything. He's actually one of my very close friends from university. He has an audio library. The audio library is called The Plug Music. And he's The Plug. He's going to hook you up with the best audio that you could use in your videos, in, I don't know, wherever you need, music that you pay for the copyright for. So probably in your videos. He's actually going to hook me up with a song to use as the intro track for this very podcast. Can't wait for it. The Plug Music. It's my boy Davis, D Money, genius person. You don't know how many times I've woken up hungover on a Sunday to go into the living room to see D Money sitting on the floor, computer up on the sofa, while he watches these audio and music tutorials and all this stuff while studying music industry at USC. Genius person, so motivated, so talented. Definitely go check him out if you're in need of an audio library. He's paid me $0 to say this. He's just the real homie, and I gotta put on for my real homies.
So we should just jump into the first song, right? You've picked out a few. I've picked out one.
Yes.
Are you religious, Chandler?
No. Not at all religious. I'm practically atheist. I was raised Jewish. I was bar mitzvahed even. So I even read the Torah. Went to years and years of temple, and not religious.
I have to say, I'm a Christian. I'm a practicing Christian. And this verse right here, I didn't understand a single bar. So you, the expert, you got to tell me, what am I looking at? What am I hearing? Break it down for me. Who are we listening to?
So this is a kind of a different song, because it's actually not really a song. It's still rap, but it's not necessarily a song. This is a rap battle. I'm huge in the rap battle scene. I love rap battles. They are super, super fun to watch. From the Off the Dome stuff from 106 and Park back in the day, all the way up to the new pre-written stuff that they're doing without a beat. I'm loving it all. It's super great.
The pre-written acapella stuff is really, really cool.
Yes, you can come up with such incredible metaphors and puns. So this one is by a guy named TBG. He's from California, Southern California, a little bit inland near Los Angeles, and it's against rapper NAK, Knack. And it goes a little bit like this. We got a Christian rapper versus a Christian rapper. Think Genesis, you my brother. So pretty much he's setting up the story that he's about to dive into, which is pretty much an entire play on words and puns from the Bible. You don't really know this from those two bars, but I'm just telling you right now that almost every single rhyme in the next, in this verse,
every pun, every rhyme, every soliloquy, it's all gonna be a Bible reference.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And it's insane how good he is at this. I bring Cain, but you ain't able to live through this vicious chapter. So let's start it over from the beginning so you can get the rhyme. We got a Christian rapper versus a Christian rapper. Think Genesis, you my brother. I bring Cain, but you ain't able to live through this vicious chapter. He's rhyming brother with rapper and chapter. The flow, like, I can't mimic the flow because the flow of battle rap is always really weird.
It's very non-linear.
Yes.
It really is non-linear. There is flow, though. There still is flow.
Mm-hmm. And he does it much better than I'm able to do it. So, in the bar, I bring Cain, but you ain't able to live through this vicious chapter. This is a play on the Cain and Abel story within the Bible, where Cain murders his younger brother, Abel. There's a pun that TBG, is going to murder an AK. He's Cain, and he's going to murder an AK, who's Abel, in the story. And then the pun is that he's going to bring the cane, right? He's going to bring this big wooden stick, and he's going to beat down an AK with this weapon. And an AK is just unable to live through this vicious chapter, which is this rap battle.
So there's also a pun, I think, that with the word Cain, I think he's trying to say that Cain rhymes with pain. So, like, bringing the pain on someone is very similar, right?
Holy shit, dude.
Yeah,
dude.
So I bring the pain, but you ain't able to, like, handle the pain, right? Like,
Oh my gosh.
Right? So there's the reference to the Bible, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Then there's the double pun with the word able, and the double pun and pointer to a different, like, word switch with the word Cain. Very well written. And that's only, like, the second line, right?
Yeah. All right, guys. We're going to go and order a bed for us to sleep in, because we're going to be here all day and night.
At this rate.
Yeah, I'm going to get a line of...
Dude, do you think we can fit a bed into the sauna?
Oh, my God. How would we sleep? I call the top bunk. It's skinnier, but if I fall off, I land on you, whereas if
Don't
I'm
all
on the
be
bottom...
dead from the heat. It doesn't matter.
All right. It keeps going. I go Adam at Eve and take his apple and knees and knock the knowledge from his noggin straight out of his tree. Holy shit. Just the way that flows is incredible. I go Adam at Eve and take his apple and knees and knock the knowledge from his noggin straight out of his tree. You got three rhymes with the E sound, tree, knees, and Eve. Then you also got this alliteration that's very heavy on the N sound. You got... knees, knock, knowledge, noggin.
Oh, you mean the can sound? The
K silent, kind of. Right?
Sure, yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And it's super nice. It's just the way it flows is really cool. But again, of course, because this guy be that real good battle rapper on the scene, this has more meaning than just how it sounds. What he's saying, he's beat him so hard, he's gonna beat NAK so hard, he's gonna knock the knowledge from his head, like taking away the apple, taking away the forbidden fruit of knowledge, which NAK has taken. Like, he's going to just knock the knowledge out of this guy. I don't know, it's super clever. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's really well written. So you've got the Bible hint here, right? So mm-hmm. he's using the word Adam and Eve to sort of set the scene of knowledge and mm-hmm. the forbidden fruit. And then I think he's trying to say that, like, any knowledge that any knowledge left, he's gonna take from him, mm-hmm. right? Like, he's saying that he's gonna take all the stuff that he possibly had, like, nothing that he possibly can get thrown at will be a good rebuttal at this point.
It's which, like, is interesting. I could do everything
you can and better.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
It's interesting.
Also, it's kind of you can notice, like, I go Adam at Eve, so he's
there must be an alliteration somewhere.
Yeah. Like, I go Adam. At them. I go at them, right?
Oh, maybe.
I go at them at Eve. And he's saying he's the guy and NAK is the girl, right?
Oh, maybe.
It's like saying, oh, you're a pussy. Like,
maybe.
That's pretty cool. Believe you don't want... you don't wanna take a chance in Tango, fam. I'm Michael, the archangel that beat Satan bad. I got sacred hands. I'm gonna let the archangel Michael come.
Yeah, so I mean, this is a reference to the word Michael, the archangel, right? So my name is Michael, and being Russian Orthodox and being religious, like, this is literally all people tell me about. And so Michael the archangel is known for leading an army against Satan and protecting God in heaven and putting Satan back in hell, basically, right? Putting Lucifer in hell where he belongs because he betrayed God, right? So Michael is like this really, really high figure. So comparing himself to Michael is like almost comparing himself to God. It's just comparing himself to someone extremely powerful and someone who has like very, very, very Holy Spirit.
Mm, nice. It's really interesting. I like it a lot. I just love like how encompassing this rap is, in that he touches on the very well-known stories of people like Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel, and then he even goes deep
into the stuff. Just wait.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it continues. Or, I can son him with the blade, call me Abraham. So let's do that back-to-back, because those kind of rhyme together, okay? I'm Michael the Archangel that beat Satan bad. I've got sacred hands. Or I could son him with the blade, call me Abraham.
Interesting. He rhymed the word fam with Abraham. Interesting, then, interesting rhyme.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. It's a A-B-B-A rhyme structure.
Right.
Super cool. Abraham, of course... Not of course, sorry. Like, I know not everyone was raised very religious or is familiar with the Old Testament stories.
Even if you are like me, just knowing this stuff off the top of your head is not very normal.
If you haven't replaced all of your old biblical knowledge with knowledge on Minecraft yet, like, I don't know what you're doing. How are you even alive in 2019?
Oh my god. Stop shooting shots at me, alright? I like Minecraft, leave me alone.
So, okay. Abraham was ordered by God to kill his son Isaac. And this is what he's
talking about. The story is called The Binding of Isaac, if anybody wants to read that up.
Yes.
Great game, by the way.
Dude, I 100% agree. Has nothing. I feel like it has nothing to do with the actual Bible reference.
I have no idea.
Great game.
No idea.
So I could son him with the blade like Abraham. He's pretty much saying he could kill him like Abraham was going to kill his son. That's what that bar is about. It's pretty straightforward.
It's also, well, it's a double pun, right? I can son him with the blade, being like, I can cut you with my blade. But the word son has a double meaning, where son is also the son of Abraham, right?
Yes.
So it's like a simple line, but there's still a pun in there. Mm-hmm. There's still a pun in there.
Super cool. You got a flood flow coming. I'm Noah in the boat. You surviving is a dream. Call me Joseph with the coat.
Now, this one is one I do not understand at all. So you're going to have to help me with this one.
Cool. So the flood is coming to kill N.A.K. All right? Flood's coming to kill N.A.K. And it's the story of Noah and the flood. God ordered Noah to round up two of every animal, bring them onto this ark that he like let Noah in on and told Noah to build, while he flooded the world and killed all the evil within the world. And everything on this boat survived, and everything out of the boat died. And what he's saying here is, you got a flow coming. I'm Noah in the boat. You don't have a boat, N.A.K. You're going to die to the flood. I'm not letting you on my boat.
Interesting.
And even the idea of you living through this flood, you're dreaming, kid. And guess what? I'm Joseph with the coat. The coat, the dream coat. So you're dreaming about surviving, but guess what? I have the fucking dream coat. You don't get to dream either. You don't get to survive the flood in my boat, and you don't get to survive the fucking flood with the dream coat, because I got the dream coat. And it's so cool how he merges those two ideas together, because they aren't like that in the Bible. Those are very separate stories.
They are.
And he merges them into a singular thought. It's like, it's all encompassing, covers every corner, and it's super cool.
And it also sort of takes some bits from previously in the rap, where he's realizing that so earlier in the bars he made a pun saying how no matter what Knack throws at him, he can deal with it, and no matter what he throws at Knack won't be able to deal with it. And this line about the dream coat and about the flood is like along those same lines, where mm-hmm. you think mm-hmm. you're going to survive, but really I've taken away all your options, which is also really, really cool. Like, he's keeping the same idea, even though he's using completely different metaphors.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting.
He's keeping his foot on the fucking gas.
Yeah, he hasn't stopped yet. It's very cool. Very cool. Mm. What do we got next?
Bible bars, and everyone I drop nice. Look at him looking more salty than Lot's wife. Let me redo that really quick. Bible bars, and everyone I drop nice. Look at him looking more salty than Lot's wife.
Interesting.
That's super cool. So Lot's wife was turned to a pillar of salt after turning back and looking at the town of Sodom as God smote it down. God gave them the warning, hey, you're the only pure people in this town of sin. If you run away and never look back, you'll be saved from persecution as I'd smite and destroy every person, every sinner in this town.
Brutal.
But if you turn back, I will turn you into a pillar of salt. And as Lot and his wife were running away, Lot's wife was
not of pure sin.
Yeah, she was a little bit like worried about the people or something like that, right? And she was
a bit
curious. So she turned back around and was turned into a pillar of salt.
And this is obviously using the obvious word, obvious definition of the word salt nowadays in the 21st century, which is just being like mad / envious / whatnot.
Yeah, he's calling NAK salty.
For losing.
Mad.
Yeah, for losing.
Mad, envious. And the funny thing is, you guys don't know this, but this is the very first verse of TBG in this rap battle. And he pretty much like says, hey, you lost already. I'm like not even halfway into my first verse of this 3-verse round. You lost already. And yeah, it's super cool. Check out the rap battle if you guys are interested, if this sounds cool to you guys.
You can probably just Google those names, right?
It'll come up. Yeah, NAK, TBG, super cool.
Very cool.
All right. Sorry, had a burp. Okay, let's keep going. Now I'm devouring you because no matter what you babble, dog, I'm towering you. Devouring, towering, it's a cool rhyme, but the pun here is the Tower of Babel.
No matter what you babble, I'm towering you. Yeah. Again, keeping the same message from before, where no matter what you bring on him, he'll be able to respond, which is so cool. Mm-hmm, so cool. Mm-hmm. So you can see he's crafting every single line with that message in mind, while also bringing in these amazing, amazing metaphors.
Think Exodus. I'm Moses. You the water trying to stop what I do. But when I stick, lift, and hit, it will part you in two.
Okay.
This is off of the story of Exodus as the Jewish people were fleeing from Egypt after being held captive there as slaves. Moses led them on their escape, and when they came to the Red Sea after escaping from Egypt, the Red Sea stood in between them and Israel, and Moses just yeeted that bitch in two, raised his staff into the sky, and said, move, motherfucker, get out the way, bitch.
Oh, like, my God.
Pardon?
Yeah, I'm sure that's exactly what he said.
Yeah, exactly, dude.
Those he words was, perfectly.
Did you not know, like, in my like Jesus has been reborn, right? But so has Moses, and Moses has been reborn into modern day Ludacris.
I see. That makes so much sense.
Yes, of course.
You ever seen a Ludacris video?
Yeah. The most holy of holy. Freeing the people, dude. Move, bitch. Get out the way. Alright. Whenever I promise land, I do desert banish. So first off, I transcribed this verse by hand. Okay. He didn't publish his lyrics online, at least I'm not aware of it. I listened to this hundreds of times on 0.75 speed on YouTube and then wrote it down myself. So I couldn't really pick up what he was saying here and in a couple other spots. So I don't know what this is about. Because I'm afraid I don't have the correct lyrics written down.
But what do you have right now?
Whenever I promise land, I do desert banish. So I remember in the story after he fled Egypt, they had to wander in the desert for 40 years because apparently the people then weren't ready to go back to Israel because they weren't holy enough. There were some problems with the people who fled Egypt.
Oh, interesting.
So
I don't remember this.
God made them wander in the desert for 40 years so older kids can... So older kids who can be raised holy can then inherit Israel when they return.
Sure, sure, sure.
I think it has to do with that. Again, not sure what the lyrics are here, and not sure if I'm correct. I know that that's the actual story, but I'm not sure with how to interpret
what
this lyric.
Yes. Sure.
But it keeps going. I set standard in stone. That's the Ten Commandments.
Okay, that's pretty simple.
Mm-hmm. And again, this is the exact time frame in which the Ten Commandments were found.
Right.
Was while wandering the desert.
Right.
This is the Old Testament. Break bread around getting a body. I knock your force to a fraction. That's Gideon's army. I do know a part of this. So break bread around getting a body. When they were leaving Egypt, and because they were wandering the desert for 40 years, they didn't have bread as we know it. They had matzah. They couldn't let it leaven because they kept wandering. They had flattened crackers, pretty much. Big crackers of bread. And that's what you mean, break bread. Like, you can actually break the bread.
Because it's a cracker, not a knob. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Brittle, it's brittle. Sure. Mm-hmm.
I knock your force to a fraction, that's Gideon's army. Gideon was a someone who fought for Israel or like the Jewish people or something like that. And he led an army of 300 people, and they fucked up some losers who had fewer soldiers than
him. Yeah. That's enough context.
Mm-hmm. But I wasn't sure if we should battle. I had to pray about it. You know, speak to the Father. I said, should I really kill him, Lord? He's a soldier for you. He said, the last thing I want is a chink in the armor.
This is probably my favorite line in the entire rap battle. It's not even a closer, right?
It's
not even the closer, and it's already so incredibly powerful.
So let's redo it. Let's redo it so I can actually rhyme it correctly. But I wasn't sure if we should battle. I had to pray about it. You know, speak to the Father. I said, should I really kill him, Lord? He's a soldier for you. He said, the last thing I want is a chink in the armor. Yeah, that shit's crazy. So it's a double pun. It's a double pun.
Double pun.
Double. Soldier, right? Like, he's, kill him, Lord. He's a soldier for you. He's talking about a soldier in the army, like a regular soldier. And then also a soldier of God. And then chink in the armor. NAK is Asian. For those
if you didn't catch that by the racial slur,
yeah.
NAK is Asian.
NAK is Asian. He's battling against NAK. So he's saying God doesn't want an Asian in the armor, Asian soldier, and also God doesn't want this. And also by NAK being like a soldier of God, he's saying that NAK is actually not a good soldier of God. He's actually a flaw.
Interesting.
It's actually like, it's a pretty fucked up insult. Like, it's a really good insult, and then also an incredible double pun.
So you've got two puns on the word soldier.
Yes.
And two puns on the word chink.
Mm-hmm.
One's the racial slur, and one's a flaw. So you've got this line, basically, with two double puns, which is very, very well made.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Absolutely love it. So, he also told me to tell you that you in need of a barber. NAK has really long hair here. He has really long hair.
That's pretty simple.
I put hands on Nak like I seen him weep at the altar. This is a play on words on Nak and neck. He puts hands on Nak like he puts his hands on his neck.
Nak's neck.
Yeah, Nak's neck. And then like you weep at the altar as if he's like comforting him, but he's also like choking him out. Yeah. He's killing him. This is probably one of my least favorite lines, but
it's also like the least clear.
Yeah,
it's, compared to the rest of his rhyme.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Whether biblical or lyrical, this guy can't serve me. Asked him about the burning bush. He was like, "Who told you that I have herpes?"
Yikes! Yikes! What? That's like a nail in the coffin, dude.
I don't think I need to explain this one, but if you don't get it, go ask your doctor. Like, holy shit. Okay.
That one's good. Very well written. That was pretty simple too, but
yeah.
Really drives the point home.
Also an internal rhyme, biblical and lyrical. Pretty cool. We still in the first books, I'm born in the Torah. He's clocking up an order like he's shopping at Sephora. Your faggotry destroyed that Sodom and Gomorrah.
Okay, so Sodom and Gomorrah is also a reference to a line from earlier.
Yes.
Right? That's he's
Lot's
saying,
wife.
Yeah, Lot's wife and the salt and how Sodom and Gomorrah are full of sin. So he's saying that people who take material goods and, you know, shop at Sephora, who value material goods above all else, they're, in addition to other types of sin, in this case, he's using the term faggotry, are things that looked down upon by God. And mm-hmm. especially in the first books and the Torah, for example, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Also, there's a lot of really good internal rhymes in here. Torah, Sephora, and then Gomorrah.
Oh, which and Torah. Sorry, you said that.
Which is really cool. Like, I don't know. When a lot of people go to rap, a lot of rappers will do very classic raps. Like, oh, yeah, I got the cat, and then I swing my bat, and then you know where I'm at because I just took a shot. Like, I don't know. It's like really simple, but rhyming these really crazy words like Sephora, Torah, and Gamora, it's always like really impressive to me to think about all the different words that you can rhyme with. It's so creative and clever.
I wonder if in the sentence, I'm born in the Torah, because the Torah is like one of the very first like religious texts.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if saying that he is, or part of him is from the Torah, is saying like, I am wise, I am old, like there's nothing in God on me. I don't know, it's like a really like small that. Thing. It's he doesn't really reference it anywhere else
I don't
in
think,
the sentence.
I don't think you're underplaying it. I don't think you're overplaying it. I think that's fair. That's like a very like clever thing to pull out of it. Yeah, I think that is what he's saying. That's really cool.
Might be interesting.
That's really cool. So the very last line on it goes like, now as a man of God, I usually pray for the weak, but this guy's so damn soft that he's prey to the weak. Again, just wordplay on the word pray and pray. He just uses it again to show you like he knows both meanings. It's the light there. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's nothing big. It's nothing fancy. It's just basic.
Light bulbs have a lot of,
you know, 90% of lights like heat. Yeah, my boy Michael just touched a light bulb straight on the dome.
Holy shit, that's so hot.
Did you need to run your fingers under a faucet?
I'm good. I'm surprised I got it here, dude. It's very hot.
Ooh.
It's very
hot. I actually melted my finger earlier this week from touching like an old bulb from like 1940. The ones that like have like 99%. Yeah. You know the ridges in your finger? You know how you have like a fingerprint?
Yeah.
My finger melted down, so it was flat.
Well, wouldn't it just burn?
No, it like melts down. Or
no way, dude. It's okay.
It was super weird. I don't know if you touched it. If it was hot enough, you'll see it.
Maybe.
It'll feel real weird. All right, guys. So that's the first song. Super cool, very awesome, big fan. Now we have one more song for you. Well, that was a really long one, so we're only going to do two songs today.
Sure.
I picked out the first one. My boy Michael here got the second one. The name of the song is
Sofa King. So you gotta say it with this like Asian accent, because that's how MF Doom, the great rapper, that's how he presents it. And this rap uses a lot of samples from an old Adult Swim show called Aqua Team Hunger Force. It uses this entire album, actually, uses a lot of samples from that show. So this is like a real throwback to like kids born like the 80s who grew up as teens in the 90s and watched the show. Mm-hmm. And the story is in this particular song is maybe a little bit gruesome, but it sort of describes the recording process between Danger Mouse mm-hmm. and MF Doom as they collaborated to make this album.
Yes.
So
Danger Mouse is the producer, MF Doom is the rapper, the lyricist.
Right. So
both of them are very famous in their own rights, and this collaboration is one of the classics of underground hip-hop and one of the most celebrated and respected albums in the game. When Michael approached me with the song, I was super excited that he picked it, because this is a song I've listened to hundreds of times and have had on my personal playlist on my phone, downloaded illegally off a LimeWire for so many years. It's great.
Talking about being born in the 80s, right?
Yeah, dude. Not me, but no, it's super awesome. So let's jump into it.
So this is, to give you some context, this is a little bit towards the end of the song.
Mm-hmm.
The song, this specific song, is about the recording process, and you'll need to keep that in mind when trying to understand the conclusion of this song.
Right.
So go ahead.
And then in the song, he establishes that the music that they make is very incredible and powerful, and that they're able to control cities using just their music alone, and that people from the record labels have uninvitedly broken into their studio or their home, whatever, and now they're here to try to interrogate them and steal the knowledge. And it goes like this. The feds try to torture him for this secret recipe. He said it's no use. I only know half. No speak of the English. I only do the math.
This is a pretty long, long verse. So because this is the conclusion, let's try and pick apart some of the concepts here. So they're using MF Doom is painting a picture where they were recording, him and Danger Mouse were recording, and the feds came in and they captured Danger Mouse, and they're trying to torture Danger Mouse for the recipe, the secret recipe, why their music is so good, why they're able to control cities and sell their brand so well. Mm-hmm. And this, the feds might be an illiterate, mm-hmm. It's like a pointer to or a metaphor for the labels,
yeah,
the recording labels, mm-hmm. but it might not just be like the one that they're working for, but other recording labels too that want a piece mm-hmm. of their music, right?
Yeah.
In this case, the word him is referring to Danger Mouse, and this is spoken from the perspective of Doom.
Yeah.
So that's important to keep in mind.
We're also given a hint that it's Danger Mouse here because he says, "No speak of the English, I only do the math." And by math, he means he makes the beats, whereas the English is the lyrics, is what Doom makes.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So Doom writes the English, and he does the math. He makes the beats, you know, he calculates the beats per minute, he calculates the frequencies, that's the math. And also, the feds try to torture him for the secret recipe. He said, it's no use, I only know half.
No, speak of the English, I only do the math.
Yeah, the part about secret recipe and only know half is a reference to the Coca-Cola recipe. The Coca-Cola recipe was said to have been broken up in two parts, and that the inventors of the recipe only knew half of it, so they couldn't go off and make it on their own. You know, they had
a way
to work
of protection.
Together. Yes, exactly.
Sure.
It continues. Business felt no pain. His brain was saturated with cocaine and Rogaine.
So what the heck is Rogaine?
Okay, Rogaine is a chemical mixture, kind of vitamin, medicine, whatever you want to call it, which people use to then help them grow hair.
It's for bald people.
It's for bald people.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So the second hint that it's Danger who's been captured here and not Doom is that earlier in the song, Doom says that he's bald. And
you know, like, from pictures of him, the dude's bald as hell.
So, like, he doesn't have any hair. His brain was saturated with cocaine and Rogaine. You know that...
the producer was high, and he's got a lot of hair.
Yeah.
In simpleton terms.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's Danger. It's not Doom. And this is really cool because this actually does have a meaning here. He's captured and he's tortured, but the torture is pretty ineffective because Biz felt no pain.
It's like an electric chair.
Yeah, he's an electric chair. The electrodes aren't able to fully connect to his skull and then shock him properly because the hair is in the way. And then also, he's too fucking high to even feel,
to even feel the pain. So even if he didn't have all that hair, it wouldn't even matter.
Yeah, 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 yeah. He said, try scam, no thing, three card, dead. Fly man, go for bling, he got bled. I jam, over string, see spots, red. I am Sofa King, we Todd, Ed.
So it's, the flow is absolutely amazing to the conclusion of the song. It finishes up after this with a sample from one of the TV shows, but really this is the last part that MF Doom says himself.
Mm-hmm.
So this last part is supposed to paint a picture of the recording studio and what he sees as he is performing this song.
Mm-hmm. And it's also Danger talking about the interrogation, like he's being interrogated, and this is what he tells the interrogators. I think it's a story that he tells them.
This is that Danger Mouse tells the interrogators.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
He's saying, like, he said, try a scam, no thing, three card, dead. So he said he saw someone try to scam someone. Nothing happened. They used the three card Monty,
which is a popular scam.
Yeah, it's a popular scam, which is something I actually lost $50 to.
Fucking dumbass, dude.
I thought I figured it out.
You're
I was like,
dumb.
Oh, dude, I totally figured it out. And it wasn't even my $50 was the thing. It was a poor they weren't poor. They're actually very rich. But, like, poor as in a sucker. Like, yeah. Unfortunate fool to have been with me. To be friends with me, they had to be an unfortunate fool.
From Wait, Japan. Should I not be here? Yeah,
no, you paid $500.
So right.
$500. They're from Japan, so, like, this is not... I don't think they've ever seen this scheme before, right? Like, they totally got taken advantage.
So someone scammed them, and then you scammed them, too. Yeah. What a nice friend, Chandler. Yeah. What a nice friend.
I thought I figured out the trick, and I thought I could beat them at their own game, and then I got fucking fooled.
Little do you know.
Yeah. So, 3-card Monty, and then try scam, no thing, 3-card dead. They used the 3-card Monty, and then the scammers were killed for trying to be scammers. The next line, fly man go for bling, he got bled. Someone tried to steal jewelry and they were shot.
Probably like part of the scam, right? Like the scam went wrong, they tried to just rob them, and then someone got shot. Another person died.
Yes. I jam over sting, sea spots red. The sting being the interrogation
process.
The feds, the feds sting or the music label sting. As like a sting operation, right?
Yeah, trying to steal the secret.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Sea spots red. You're seeing blood splatter.
Yep, pretty simple.
I am Sofa King, Wee Todd Ed.
Yeah, that's how I feel right now.
Yeah. Literally saved you.
I mean, listening to these amazing lyricists, there's no way I could possibly feel anything but this way right now.
Yeah.
So if any of you grew up in the aughts, the 2000s, back in elementary school, there was a very popular saying called ICUP, which is when people would just write the word ICUP on the wall, and they'd be like, oh, say that out loud.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
they'd just, you'd say ICUP, and ha ha ha, you said the words ICUP, right? So this is, I think, from Aqua Team Hunger Force.
Yeah.
One of the characters in the show tries to get the other characters to say, Sofa King, we, Todd, Ed.
We as in W-E, like we are a group. Todd as in like...
The name,
Todd, T-O-D-D. And then Ed as also in the name, short for Edward. Okay.
And when you say it all fast...
I am Sofa King retarded.
Uh-oh. Get wrecked.
Uh-oh. Is that terms of service? Am I kicked off of Twitch now?
Oh, no.
You pug. All right. So a little disclaimer. I'm not that confident on our take on this verse. How do you feel?
I mean, the rhymes are really difficult to understand. It's also hard to understand the general concept of the song. He keeps switching... Throughout this entire song, he seems to be switching between two metaphors.
Yes.
He seems to be switching between like the metaphor of the interrogation process and how MF Doom and how Danger actually make the song.
Yeah.
And then he has this other storyline going where he's talking about like maybe past criminal activity that he's been part of, something along those lines. So not super confident with our take, but with this closing section, it seemed relatively simple enough to where we could maybe at least for this part, look at this part, it's right. But looking at the overall song, it looks very complicated.
Right.
Very complicated.
Yeah. And then we every time I go to do this, and Michael and I just did this together, we do our research. We see what everyone else has said online about these songs.
Unfortunately, not many people have looked at this last verse.
Yeah.
Not many people.
We're probably the most clear lead defined narrative in theory on these bars right here. And I think even when reading other people's takes, we sometimes disagree with other people. We're like, nah, you're not reading that right.
Yeah, it really depends. There also is a little bit of controversy on like the last few lyrics of this.
Yeah.
So, and depending on where the him and they go, maybe it's a different narrative. So it's hard to tell. It really is hard to tell.
Yes. But I think, like...
Can we hear that last bit with the rhythm one more time?
Sure. He said, try scheme, no thing, 3-card dead. Fly man, go for bling, he got bled. I jam over sting, sea spots red. I am Sofa King, we Todd Ed.
Yeah, there you go.
So
that's
fucking
the closer.
Dude, this is what MF Doom is known for. It's his multi-syllabic rhymes. His multi-syllabic rhymes are incredibly hard to do. Anyone could rhyme cat with bat,
True.
Okay? True. But then acrobat with like, I'm pro flat is like, it's way harder to do because I just couldn't fucking do it. I tried, I couldn't do it. Like, holy hell, yeah. Multi-syllable prints.
Anyway. Good rap.
Yeah, good rap. Thank you so much for joining me on this podcast, Michael. I hope you had a good time.
I had a great time. I had an amazing time researching this. It's a lot harder than I thought it would be. It's not very clear, especially when you look at some of the more underground stuff.
Mm.
Definitely too hard for me to understand. I'm just a noob in this whole scene.
So I have many rappers on the list of people who I want to cover on this podcast, and I purposely left MF Doom off the list because
it's too hard.
He's over my pay grade. But I'm glad you forced me to own up to the fact that MF Doom is one of the best lyricists.
Truly one of the best.
And that I need to cover him on a podcast about rap lyrics because he deserves all the fucking credit and all the work that he's done. Some people make fun of him because in concerts he like sometimes will send out a stunt double instead of himself, or supposedly he does shit like that, but dude, that's like actually something MF Doom would do. If you analyze his like lyrics, like, like the type of shit he drops, it was like, yeah, of course I'd fuck you guys over. Like, I'm MF Doom, bitch. Like, I'm king. I'm con. I don't know. Super cool. Anyways, thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of Lyrics Unwrapped, the podcast which analytically breaks down the best rap lyrics of all time, explaining the hidden meaning and genius of each bar. I'm your host, Chandler So, joined today by my favorite guest of all time.
Wow, thank
you. Like, literally the best guest I've ever had on this
show.
Michael and Archangel Michael, the defeater of Satan himself, sent him back to hell.
Absolutely.
First guardian of heaven.
I had to make sure this rap doesn't get into heaven. I mean, this podcast.
Hell yeah, dude. The angels need to know, dude. My grandma, dude, she's listening to podcasts right now.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
She's bumping MF Doom, dude.
Definitely. Your Jewish grandma absolutely is bumping
MF Doom. So proud of his bar mitzvah. You know, so proud. Okay, guys. We out. Peace.